mysteries of the kingdom. And we're going to read a lengthy passage of the scripture, Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. We're going to read from verse 10. From the beginning of Matthew chapter 13, Jesus began to give parables. He began to speak in parables. And then from verse 10, the disciples approached him and asked him a very simple question. It says his disciples came and asked him, "Why do you use parables when you speak to the people?" He replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not." Someone shout hallelujah. It says, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom, the mysteries of the kingdom. King James Version might call it the mysteries of the kingdom. But others are not permitted. Now, turn to your neighbor and say, that's a great advantage. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. This is why I use these parables. Because people will begin to ask, why does Jesus use these parables? Because again, the secrets of the kingdom is not for everyone. The call to the kingdom is for everyone. But the working principles of success for the kingdom is not for everyone, unfortunately. He went on to say, "For they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand." Have you found out why sometimes when you begin to talk about things as simple as plain as the gospel, people don't understand it? They can't understand it. Why? They've not been empowered to understand it. It's not for them. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, "When you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend." By the grace of God, I'll be talking as a pastor, not as an evangelist. You must very much understand this. If you are part and parcel of the very kingdom of God, stop wasting your time trying to make the world understand everything about you. They really don't have the capacity to understand it. You know, sometimes we go online and we are debating Titan. They will never understand it. We go online and we are debating so many things. They will not understand it. They are debating giving. They are debating sacrifice. They are debating prayer. They are debating so many. They can't understand it. Have you ever tried arguing with a madman before? Have you ever tried that? Some of you have. Why can you not argue with a madman? Because intellectually, it does not have the capacity to make sane argument. They don't flow in the same frequency with you. Why? Their spirits have not been renewed. How many of you argue with little children here? Toddlers. Say, "I will do this, I will do that." Don't you look silly? You know, when you see a child, okay, some of you are laughing because that's what you do. You see a little child, "I'll now take this thing from you." The child does not understand. But the child will just be laughing at you. The child does not have the capacity to communicate, to understand. But let's continue. For these hearts of the people have been hardened. Okay, let me just stop there. Let me get into the juice. Proverbs chapter 25. I'll read it and then I run. 25 verse 2. Proverbs 25 verse 2. NKJV says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search out a matter. If there is something that has been very consistent throughout the teachings of this meeting, it is very clear that the Holy Spirit we have received is a great advantage, true of us. But one of the very reasons why the Holy Spirit is a great advantage to the believer is that the Holy Spirit has access to the mysteries of the kingdom that can never come to the mind of unbelievers. Now, God created this earth. The best person to teach you how to succeed on earth is God. And in his own will, being sovereign God, there are certain things, principles, systems, and mysteries of this kingdom. How we can survive, how we can thrive, how we can be successful. That he has kept only for those who fear him. And the way he communicates that is through his spirit. He said they have ears, but they don't hear. If they listen, they can't understand. Now, the unfortunate thing about this is that in today's society of believers, we have believers who have ears, but they can't hear God. Let me say this. One of the greatest things you can have as a believer is the ability to hear God. Ability also to perceive what God is saying or doing. Ability to understand the will of God. It is dangerous to be a believer, a member of this kingdom, and God does not communicate to you. Now, the problem is that God always communicates. The problem is, a lot of times, we don't receive his communication. How can we say we are believers, we are Christians? Some even say they are ministers of the gospel, and you can't hear God. How then do you want to thrive? How then do you want to succeed? The Bible in your hand is almost as useless if you don't gain understanding by the Spirit. When you check through all the problems of life, their solutions have been encoded in the scriptures. But most times, most believers, apart from even reading, they don't get understanding. This scripture actually was talking about unbelievers. You know, this is a believer's convention. This scripture is actually talking about believers, unbelievers. It's not talking about believers. So. But the problem is that we now have a church that cannot hear, that cannot perceive, that cannot understand. And if we continue like that, you know what did we mean? It's a church that is open to deception. Man is always hearing. Actually, if you don't hear from God, you will hear from somewhere else. Why is there so much deception entering into the church? A lot of believers, we hear a lot of things. But because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is not even active in their life, they begin to pick garbage as food. Have you not seen believers who we hear so many things and call it word, deep? But if you hear it, you know that there's something corrupt about this thing. Why is there so much falsehood in the body? Why is there so much falsehood in the... Very simple. I'm not even talking about the secrets now. I'm just talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now let's flip it over to the mysteries of the kingdom. When you come into the kingdom of God, one of the very things that Jesus has done for us is that there are so many things that he put in plain sight that are hidden precepts and principles that guarantee success in this kingdom. Every kingdom, every sphere, every sector, everything has principles that guarantee success. And a lot of times, it is hidden in plain sight. And what I mean by it's hidden in plain sight is you can see it, but you might not take a notice of it. When you go through the scriptures, I'm going to go through about two or three or four, maybe, if the Lord permits, with time. I'll go through some parables. When we go through these parables, we'll find out that what Jesus was teaching all this while in these parables was to teach us how the kingdom excels. Because whenever you go through the scriptures and you hear parable, Jesus will say the kingdom of God is like this. So what he's trying to tell you is this is how to thrive or succeed in the kingdom. Turn to your neighbor and say, every kingdom has secrets. Now, the secrets are not for exclusion. They are for access. This kingdom does not run on emotions. It runs on secrets, hidden laws, hidden principles, hidden in plain sight. To know the mysteries of the kingdom is to decode the logic of heaven. If Jesus were to be on earth, he was going to act differently than the way we act, two of us. And why he would do that is because he knows where he's coming from. There are things he knows that we here on earth, we don't know. Now, turn to your neighbor and say, success is really not difficult. You know, I will say something and my brother talked about it while he was ministering. You see, if you sit down to understand and observe, you will terminate years of frustration and struggle. When you see any man who is struggling a lot, I found out that there is something he does not know about that thing he's doing. We have a church that prays without knowledge. Proper knowledge, they don't pray without, they pray without knowledge. That's why they struggle so much. That's why we struggle a lot. We pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. And it almost looks as though the more we pray, the more things are getting hard. Listen, if I want to pass this through this door, I have two options. If I want to pass through this door now, I have two options. I either get the key and open that door, quietly I leave this place, or I go and show my muscle and push the door. If the door is stronger than me, I've lost. I can bring an axe, a bulldozer. At the end of the day, we will achieve the same result, but not in the same time. Not with the same energy. Not with the same loss. You know, Pastor Benny was saying something in the morning, that if they give you 100 years, you might end up being a billionaire. But you don't have that time to spend 100 years to be a billionaire. And the funny thing is that the key has been there all this while. The key has been there all this while. Let me also say something here. There is a culture we are raising now. And that culture is a culture of believers who don't study their scripture. But they want to pray. Now, somebody will now look at me and say, Pastor, you've always been talking about prayer here. What do you have against prayer? I do not have anything against prayer. Listen carefully. The key has always been there, but we don't read the scriptures to understand. We don't read the scriptures to understand. In fact, I was talking to somebody, I said that the average believer who is raised in this generation most times cannot defend the faith effectively. They can't defend the faith. If you ask them, they say, my pastor said. This is the essence of believers' convention. Because it's a gathering of believers, right? My job is not actually to tell you that you are going to be blessed. You know why? Because you're already blessed. So that's not my job. My job is to open to you and show you why and why you are not expressing that blessedness in you. And one of it is this. We don't read Bible. We don't read scriptures. How will God create the world? Write down the full manuscript. Give to you. You will discard it and you are praying for another miracle, whereas the scripture is already a miracle on its own. You will discard it. And all you are looking for is to shout the highest amen. And so that you will receive it like that. I will share with you a few things so that you will know that, truthfully speaking, it's not the loudest your amen that makes us succeed in this kingdom. After this program, you will take Baba Blim. I'm sorry, my job is not excitement. My job is to open you up to realities. I have found out that we have a church culture that keeps people excited over and over and over and over and over again in mediocrity. You will try something for 10 years, it's not working. But you will come one more time on Sunday and shout hallelujah. You've not dealt with these things over time. How was it? It was powerful. It was splendid. In my language, it was corrosive. Power-packed. After the whole thing, check your life. You know, listen, there is something that happens in life. If you do something for a while, if you don't get result, pause first and ask yourself. Two things are involved. Either this thing is not working or I'm not doing it well. Are you with me? Either this thing is not working, it does not have the ability to work, or you're not doing it well. And in this case, it works. So you have one option left. Now you go know that one. All right. It's this, knowing the mysteries of the kingdom is what transforms a believer from the one who prays for miracles into a one who operates by principles and produces results. One of my very great mentors says that life is not meant to be governed by 90% miracles. Because actually principles are what guarantees miracles. Now listen, you know what you see as a miracle is a spiritual process. Hello. What you see as miracle is a spiritual process or a physical process. Let me explain what I mean by that. Who is a doctor here? Who is a doctor here? Let me see. Who is a pharmacist here? Not a lizard. Not chemist. Ah, put down your hand. I know you. Chemist. Who is? Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, listen. You see that drug that you go and pay 5,000 naira for, and they give you one small thing, and you drink it. All of a sudden, headache goes away. Three of us. You call that, that is actually a miracle of science. But it has a process. Something produced it. It was actually not your faith that produced it. Something produced it. It was a process. Certain things were processed. You took it and you drank it. It started first by wisdom and idea. Given by God himself. You're not following what I'm saying. Now, when God takes away sickness from your body, listen carefully. You did not see the process, but it took a process. Because sickness left your body. Something happened and something happened. Somebody took that sickness. You did not see it. It was a process unseen to you. So there is virtually nothing called out of the blue because nothing happens in a vacuum. And listen carefully. Listen carefully to me here. Anything that cannot be replicated over time, God will not use it to build your life. Don't use that to build your life. Anything that cannot be replicated over time. It's just that when you want to do life now, you start teaching the principle of manna. Is that God's mind over time for a believer? When we come to the church, all we pray is, the Lord will favor me. I'm going to get destiny helpers. And this and that and that and that and that and that. Is that how God wants your life? Oh, can you please put your hands together for my wonderful brother? let me keep quiet for now. This man. Let's continue. When you begin to understand divine mysteries, you stop begging for outcome. You begin to walk in alignment with result. Listen, please, everyone look up to me here. Please look up to me here. Look up to me here, please. Don't write for the next 1 minute. What I'm trying to say to believers is this. God did not create you to be a beggarly person. Your life is meant to be predictable to an extent. There are certain things that if you do in life, this is not pride. This is spiritual knowledge. You will not beg for what you know will come. You will give thanks for it. You're not following me. Okay. Let me digress a little bit. Have you found out that there's one word we use in this Christian faith that we have bastardized? We use it to underplay our ineffectiveness, our laziness, or our inability to accomplish tasks. What is that called? By God's grace. Somebody knows that he will not do this. By God's grace. Now, what he's trying to tell is that if I don't do it, just put it on God. Something he can do. Something he should do. Say, by God's grace. Make what they say, by God's grace. God willing. And you know that that statement is not put on the based on the trust he has on God. It's just that he wants to dump the failure on God. And then emotionally blackmail God. Okay, let me also say this. Because we need to teach reality. Have you also found out that you will see a lot of people who have been Christians maybe for 20 years. After a while, you see other Christians who came into the faith 5 years and they are succeeding. The one who is in 20 years, he's been serving well. Oh, listen, he's been serving well. He keeps what we call moral laws. But when it comes to thriving in the kingdom, he's not really thriving. He begins to kneel down and pray to God and ask, after all I've done for you for years, why are you not blessing me? Have you ever heard such a prayer before? If you trace back to that prayer, you will find out that that person was sincerely wrong. Sincerely wrong. And what I mean by sincerely wrong? Go and check. There are things that he skipped, but spirituality is not emotional. Spiritual principles are not emotional to you. We must understand this as kingdom people. You can be a prayerful person spiritually, but you are lazy physically. There are people who pray out of laziness. Let me explain praying out of laziness. Let me show you what it means. In fact, I've told people that this, if you're not careful, tongues have made Christians lazy. They don't want to read the Bible because they know that reading the Bible takes discipline. So they will skip that one. Now, when it's time for them to pray, because they've not built stamina in prayer, they only just start speaking what comes to their mind. And they cannot cultivate even the discipline of intercession. So then they all wake up. They bring phone. Like Facebook. Share. Follow me, I follow you. But if you drop that phone and tell them pray in understanding for 10 minutes, they can't. They will sleep off. Lags it. But they will expect God. They will expect God to do to them what he has done to somebody who has consistently followed principle for 40 years. And this is one of the reasons I don't like this culture of give me more. My brother was saying something in the morning. They said that only one man has laid hands on him. I can tell you the truth. They are not up to two persons who have laid hands on this head. I can tell you the gospel truth. Because I was very careful with my head. This is my head. If you want to pray for me, leave my head. Because I found out that I can be most things in God if I go deep in him. When a man is saying, I will give you this. Who gave him that thing? If I go to him, can he not give it to me? I don't have time. Because my brother that likes to, he doesn't shake table, he breaks table, he's already here. So I will have to allow him so they can have enough time. I just saw one some minutes ago. So let's look at a few. Just maybe two or three. Or maybe two. Okay. Jesus. Do you know that? Okay, let me say this. Do you know that the grace of God is inclusive, but destiny is exclusive? Do you know that? The grace of God is what? Inclusive. For all. But not everybody will fulfill destiny. Not everybody will become what God wants them to be. And the difference is not because God sat from heaven and said, is this person or this person or this person. Have you not found out that in this kingdom, that one of the things we used to agree to mediocrity in life is that that's the way God wanted it to be over them? Who said that? I'm telling you the gospel truth. When you see a man God is using, they'll say, it's just luck. It's just the grace of God. So you don't have grace of God. What he has is oil. What you have is palm kernel. No, if you check it, that's what we do here. You see someone who is doing well, you say, just the grace of God. Now God just give him visibility. I was talking to him, I said, if you see anyone who is doing better than you, conclude in your spirit so that you don't get jealous, you don't get bitter. Conclude in your spirit that there is something this person is doing you are not doing yet. And something this person knows you don't know yet. Christians can be very evil when talking down on people who have paid prices. What I'm trying to tell you here this evening is that the grace of God has included us in great destinies. But until we seek out the mysteries of this kingdom, we will not succeed. There are things that if you do in this kingdom, you will succeed. It is guaranteed. It is guaranteed. Let me give you another example. You know, before they used to say that once you have the healing ministry, you have You have overflow, right? I can tell you that I know more than 10 preachers who never do healing service for once, but they have big ministries. Are you following what I'm saying here? And I can tell you that I know people who are dangerously anointed, but ministry never grows. Okay, let's talk maybe two or three. Which one should we go for? Matthew chapter 13, verse 14. Verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven. Okay, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovers hidden in a field. What's this? Which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Please follow me. A man. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered, hidden in a field. And in his excitement, he hid it again and sold. What's going on with you? Just keep it once. Where am I now? And goes and sells all that he has and what? Buys that field. One of the greatest mysteries in this, which is a principle in the kingdom, is that heaven measures seriousness by sacrifice. Please write it down. Heaven measures seriousness by sacrifice. If it stopped at excitement, if it stopped at the excitement level, heaven does not take you serious. Some people here, after this program now, they will be so excited, but excitement fades. Let me tell you, passion is only counted in the kingdom when there is work done. See, let me tell you, if you're not doing anything and you are passionate, the kingdom does not care. We know a lot of passionate people who are never consistent in anything. They can't pay price for anything, but they are very passionate. So I want to do this, I want to do that. Do altar call now. Who wants power? They will come out first. You will lay hands on them. I know they lay hands on anybody anyhow again. I will ask, the one that I laid hands on you, what did you do with it? You are not serious. And you know one thing with the kingdom? If everyone sees that you are not serious, they will look for someone who is serious. Because one of the things with the kingdom is that God is not in a hurry, but there is urgency for this gospel. You sleep on it, it moves somewhere else. Heaven gauges seriousness by what? Sacrifice. Not by cho-cho-cho. But that's not where the mystery is. The kingdom doesn't reveal its treasure to the casual. To the casual. A lot of times we are very casual in life. Hey, this man. Now, there is the need to be humorous. There is a need to be joyful. To be playful where you need to, but don't be casual with life. People who are casual will never hold expensive things. They will never hold hard things. Feeble hands cannot hold strong things. Be serious with life and destiny. My brother said this morning, you don't use the hand of a child to hold what bites. The kingdom is serious business. Go and take ministry. The constant rising and falling and rising and falling and rising and falling. God still loves you. But let me tell you, he will never trust you with certain delicate ministries. You see this kingdom? Grace is real, but seriousness is real too. Grace is real. We don't underplay grace, but seriousness is real. The love of God is one language, but the trust God has over man is for mature people. These things I'm saying now, you might not like it, no problem. The man didn't take the treasure, he bought the entire place. For him to find the treasure, that treasure was not on the surface. It took a serious person to dig. And most times you don't find a treasure the first trial. Seriousness. 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 Now, listen to me. Look up to me, everyone. Every one of us has the very gift of the Holy Spirit once we get saved. But not everyone will come to the fullness of the power of the Spirit. Seriousness. And people say, God just gave it to him liberally, just like that. You see, one of the greatest tragedies I've seen in ministry is that the most anointed are not the most effective. I've seen that in ministry. The most anointed are not the most effective. There are wells that before you can begin to drink from it in life, you have to dig. I'm sorry, but there is a culture that we are raising in this end time that is creating lazy and irresponsible Christians. People who are meant to be active are busy, constantly busy, waiting for manna to fall. Waiting for manna to fall in your career. In your mind, it is the sticker that I produce for you January that will make you succeed between January and December. If it's not like that, everybody don't succeed though. You know, let me share with you what we call testimony culture. Let me tell you what I call testimony culture. There's something we do in this body that I find very funny too. When we share certain testimonies of upliftment, we hide the behind the scene and now make it look as if every testimony does not have a back end. Did you hear what I said? You understand what I mean by behind the scene? So, for example, someone is working hard, doing this, doing that, doing that, doing that, and then finally gets a prophetic word. And then all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, through time, effort, and all of this, God sends rain. Because God does not send rain anyhow. The ground must be tilled, two of us. So, but the problem is that when we are giving the testimony, we forget the tilling of the ground. We forget the this, we forget the this. And all we give in testimony is that God did what? Sent rain. And then anybody who is listening to that thing, we now think that the process of having fruit is for rain to just fall. It's not true. It's not true. Before the rain, something must happen. The tilling must happen. The seed must be put in there. So you must pay attention to what others ignore. If you must find treasures, you must dig. Don't walk away from things that look dirty. I'm not talking about moral dirtiness. I'm talking about things that look so hard. Cheap success. Run away from. See, there was something this my brother told me 15 years ago. He said, if they give you two routes in life, one is very easy, one is hard. Go and take the hard one. I can't forget that word. One day he was advising me. You know, I had the privilege of having not just a physical father, but this man here. That's not. When God gives you a field, you commit to it. You commit to it. God sees seriousness through sacrifice. Lord, you know I want to do it. Lord, you know. If you check. Now, if you were a man, if you were God, but you were judging from the senses of man, and it's time for prayer, the people you will bless are the people who cry the most. But there are people who are crying, but in their heart, they are planning the next one. Are you with me? Humans are fickle in emotions. Some people, this from today, I'm going to do this. When they reach out, make small eba first. Mom must work. And you continue that. I wanted to ask, don't be juju be that. But let's leave it there. Let me see if I can get one more. Okay, let's talk about Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. I don't have time. Do I have time for this? Okay, let me see. Jesus also used this illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like a yeast. It's like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. You know what Christ was talking when he was talking about this? He was trying to show us the principle of silent influence. The principle of silent influence. Subtle operations, absolute impact. How to operate silently, yet take over. Majority of us kill our vision by early visibility. Too much noise. There are certain things that should not know the light of the day until it is ready. It's not about your pregnancy anyways. Because one of the things we hide in this country more than anything is pregnancy. Pregnancy that we will still see. And most people hide it because of village people. You see yeast? Very small. They're very small. But it will enter through. That's how God expects us to give our impact, not by aggression. Loudness and effectiveness are 2 different things. There's something that I made up my mind to do. There's something I've always found. Most people who have ever, if I've had encounter with 100 persons, 90 persons who visit either my work, who visit my work. Most of times, what they see in my work is greater than what they thought I was doing. And the secret is that I made up my mind. I will not make noise more than what is going on. Making noise more than what is going on is setting yourself up for mediocrity. That's one. Number two, you are setting up yourself a grand fall. Somebody is over there. I said I'm the only one in this generation that does not have what? Ring light. not only me remain for Nigeria. The pressure will not come to me. One day I was talking to someone. I said, you are looking for billboard. You are looking for billboard, yes. For your business. You know, if you put your billboard, FIRS will come. You see, there are some exposures you give to yourself that are not necessary. There are some things that when you do, you put yourself in places that will expose you to fight. Did you find out that there were a few things Jesus did and he said, keep quiet. Don't talk about it. Keep it. But these days, any small thing that just entered your head, I feel I should say it. You know, I like saying my mind. Now, some people say, that's the nature of the prophetic until they cut off your head as a gift. You know, some people say, I don't care. You know, someone gave one prophecy. Today he's in jail for 20 years. Some of you who know what I'm talking about. Some people prophesy. And you know, the prophecy might be accurate. But was it? You know, some of the things you are saying, you are not the first person that heard it, understood it, or saw it. I've seen people racking up low key that you will never know. Racking it, making it, doing so much. Rise to your feet because of my time. I said I will keep my time. I said I was going to keep my time. See, if there is anything to take out from this session, look up to me, everyone here. If there is anything to take out from my session, whatever it will take you to succeed in life and ministry is already there for you. Let me tell you the good news before I pray. There is no longer mysteries. The mysteries have been revealed. But you need to search it out. You need to search it out. You need to do what? Search it out. Know what is peculiar about your calling. Know what is peculiar about you. Sometimes you will hear people, they will say so many things. You are waiting to hear the part where the one that God told them. Nothing. And you want to succeed as a kingdom person. And by the way, let me say this before I round up. You don't succeed in this kingdom with secular principles. You don't succeed in this kingdom with secular principles. I said the kingdom is exclusive. And I said too, you cannot help God. If you enter this kingdom, you are subject to him. He's the king, true of us. So for you to succeed, you will succeed his own way. You must pay the price for it. Stop letting the world influence us. Teaching us things that... You're going to make this prayer, clapping your hands. You're going to say with me in the name of Jesus. No, you're not ready with me. Or say with me in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Wait now. Wait. I said you're going to make this prayer clapping your hands. Say with me in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Any veil,
any veil
covering my eyes,
covering my eyes.
I declare on this mountain,
I
receive clarity.
From today,
my mind
is opened up
to the mysteries, to the secrets of the kingdom. Lift up your voice and make that prayer. Lift up your voice and make that prayer. Eratash kabarabahaliata. Make that prayer. Ratatakatatatatatabaha. Endoros Kobondia Bradas. Shababa da 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 Era bada da 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 da. Era cabrado sara. Eskuma mama mama mama. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Listen to me before I pray. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18 and 19 was talking about, oh, I pray that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. What will you know? Oh, riches, his glorious inheritance. That's beautiful. It's good to know what your father has. That's beautiful. But if you stop there, you will be a criminal after he dies. You did not hear me. I said, it's good to know what your father has. His inheritance. His glorious riches. Know that. But hope you know how your father got that. If you don't know it, and they give it to you, you will mismanage it. You will spend it in the house of harlots. You cannot sustain it. I know what my father has. I know what is mine. Do you know how to keep it? Do you know how to get it? Because wealth given must be multiplied. Lift up your hands and say, in the name of Jesus, my mind is open to know. My mind is open to receive. Lift up your voice and make that prayer. The eyes of my understanding is enlightened. I am a student of the Spirit. Oh, Shabakatala Goshadadara. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let me pray with you. Father, I pray for everyone who is under the sound of my voice tonight. Anyone who is under any kind of veil of ignorance or whatsoever, I declare that that veil be torn away.
Amen.
I declare that from today you will begin to see light.
Amen.
Let light flood into your heart. I pray for a deeper understanding of the mind of God.
Amen.
From today, the very word of God will become spirit to your mind.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Same energy, please come.